lean forward slightly, look straight at the speaker, and listen with a sparkle in your eye, as though you might be thinking, gee, this is the most wonderful thing I ever heard in all my life.
We interrupt this program to waste some of your valuable time.
Coming to you live from the KOUG studios at WSU Vancouver, it's TGIF Radio. This show is brought to you by the Internet, Electricity, and Mind Power. And now, with no agenda in mind, here's TGIF Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the highlight of your week. It is Friday. This is TGIF Radio. So goodbye to the work week and hello to the weekend. Why does it feel like it's been so long for me?
I don't know. Since we've done the show or just in general?
Since we've done the show. Like, I don't know. For some reason, I feel like I've skipped at least one week.
Because the week before finals week, or before midterms is always, or not, but whatever next week is, spring break,
What is next week? Spring break. The week where I just don't go to school and I just make more money instead.
Yeah, that awesome. Week.
Yeah, because you get to go to the beach
for like 2 or 3 days, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
What beach?
I don't know.
Oh, it's all a mystery?
I don't know.
This is a last-minute plan.
I'm pretty much just tagging along.
Oh,
okay. I don't know any of the details or the particulars.
I don't know. Sometimes that can be fun as long as you don't find yourself being the fifth wheel all of a sudden.
Yeah, I know. I know my sister isn't going.
Yeah?
Because she has stuff going that weekend.
Okay, so it's not exactly fifth wheeling. You're just kind of... Okay. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe you'll party hard. Who knows? Maybe. We have no idea. If you dare, go ahead and call us at 360-546-9500. Fun fact about this intro, it's Prince, because he still makes music.
Yeah,
and I didn't know that. And it shows he also has, we've discovered, a sense of humor, because the album art that he picked for this is a picture of Dave Chappelle dressed as Prince, looking kind of sad and holding up a plate of pancakes. It's really great. I don't know why that's my favorite piece of trivia about that song, but maybe it's because it's the only piece of trivia I know about that song. But who really knows? We spoke something into existence last week on our show.
Was it last week we spoke it?
I think so.
Okay.
That's what I was told by a listener who shall not be named because it's probably relative and that would be sad. Remember when we were talking about Jesus?
Jesus, yes.
We were kind of talking about it and how we were saying that the stuff from Parma, Italy, that's like the stuff. And Kraft cheese is...
not as good. It's good, but not as good.
It's good, but absolute meh compared to the cheese from Parma.
I hold in my hand
I know what you're talking about. A story from the Colombian titled, Europe Wants Its Cheese Back. European Union wants to ban use of European names on products made in the U.S. Would Parmesan by any other name be as tasty atop your pasta? A ripening trade battle might put that to the test. As part of trade talks, the European Union wants to ban the use of European names such as Parmesan, feta, and gorgonzola on cheese made in the United States.
Right.
The argument is that the American-made cheeses are shadows of the original European varieties and cut into sales and identity of the European cheeses.
How many cheeses in the grocery store do you actually see that are from Europe?
None.
Exactly.
They're all made in America. We're not going to import cheese from those places.
Exactly. And so then if this happens, what's next? We can't call champagne champagne if it's not made in the Champagne region of France.
Well, those people are just like real sticklers, I think, is
right.
What I think.
But no, I'm just, what I'm getting at is what's going to be next with that is, are we not going to be able to call champagne champagne or?
I don't know. We're going to have.
We're not going to be able to call pasta pasta.
Well, maybe we can just add American onto the beginning of everything.
Yeah.
So American Parmesan cheese.
But then we put American on, and instantly people think it's synthetic.
That it is, though. I mean, do we not accept that already? I was thinking about this the other day. We are a country that lives on military rations.
Yeah, pretty much.
You just got to think about it, because most of the stuff that we love to eat, we eat like rubber cheese, plastic pizza, all this artificial stuff, but... if we were to be, like, attacked, like, if we went into an all-out land-scale war, everybody would be fine
for a long time. Yeah, because it's not like production plants would get shut down. Or even if everything production got shut down, we have enough stores and stockpiles of everything everywhere.
It would all last for so long. I mean, people would completely abandon fruits and vegetables and everything like that because they would be going to the real long-lasting Twinkie slash American cheese slash Ding Dong diet. That's what you eat.
A little bit of Hot Pockets thrown in. Not Hot Pockets.
Like
Pop-Tarts.
Oh, yeah, Pop-Tarts. That is like the meals of the apocalypse right there. Yeah. That is what is going to happen. It's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I really hope everybody just doesn't die.
Yeah.
You know, because people might be malnourished, but if you give them a whole bunch of Twinkies, is that going to help them live longer, or will they just die quicker?
Maybe they'll die happy.
Maybe, but I mean, I don't really think that's any sort of benefit. I mean, you're still dying. That's kind of the big problem here, is we don't want people to die. We want to figure out how to make them survive on horrible garbage that we've been keeping in our basement for 5+ years because we thought the supply was going to be expended.
Well, as a country, we've been doing that pretty well for the past several years.
You know somebody decades. Who stores a whole bunch of Twinkies
in
their basement?
No, I'm just saying, you know, we've been living off so much synthetic food for so long now. We seem to be doing a pretty good job of it.
No, it's not. We haven't been doing too bad, really. No. But giving malnourished people the same foods that we're eating, I don't know if that would turn out so well for them.
Probably not.
They might just end up, their death might be accelerated.
Yeah.
This hasn't been proven, and it also hasn't been tested, so this
and
is
probably not going to be either.
No, we really hope not, because I think that's like on
it's
par
a bit
with
cruel and unusual.
That's a bit on par with whatever the Nazis were doing in their secret labs. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I mean, when you compare face melting versus force feeding someone Twinkies, I mean, they're on the same scale.
Yeah.
I think very bad. Don't do that. Oh,
don't melt your face.
Remember when we were talking about the hoverboards?
Yes.
We figured out who done it.
Okay.
Who actually started the whole thing. It was actually Tony Hawk.
It was actually Tony Hawk.
He was the guy that wanted the whole thing to happen, not one of his sponsors like we were thinking.
Right.
I saw a video of him.
It wasn't him basically trying to promote a new Tony Hawk video game?
No, he just wanted to know what it would be like to ride a hoverboard with Doc Brown. And so he did that because he's like, wait a minute, I have money.
He's already laid claim to that one. Come on. He's supposed to wait until like April 1st.
Yeah, I know. He jumped the gun.
A little bit.
Really. It would have been a really great April Fool's
joke. It would have been. A month-long April Fool's joke.
Although now we have to figure out what Jimmy Kimmel's going to do for April Fool's.
Oh, God.
He's going to have something. It's not going to be hoverboards.
No, he's going to have to top that.
Maybe he's going to have a robot co-host like Craig Ferguson, and then they're going to...
But it'll be a real robot?
Maybe. I don't know.
Except for it won't be real because we're talking about... Yeah.
Well, maybe they can get Grant to build another one, because you know
that's true.
Grant Imahara from Mythbusters built Craig Ferguson's robot.
Yeah. He does have done a lot of robotics. He was did you ever watch the show back in the early 2000s called BattleBots?
BattleBots?
I think so.
Like the ripoff of Transformers?
No. This is an actual competition show where people would literally build robots to kill the other people's team's robots.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
My sister and I would stay, because it was always on just before we had to go to bed, so we would watch it every night before going to bed, and it was awesome. And Grant was actually one of the people who actually won the whole competition.
Is BattleBots all one word?
I don't remember.
Because for some reason I can't find...
I think that was the title of it. It sounds right.
BattleBots was an American company that hosted robot competitions. Mm-hmm. BattleBots was also the name of the television show created from the competition footage hosted by comedian Bill Dwyer. But why can't I find an IMDb page for BattleBots?
I don't know.
It's just not here. There's an episode of Astro Boy called BattleBot, but it's not really the...
That's not what you're looking for.
No, I've never seen Astro Boy.
Those aren't the
either.
Droids you're looking for.
No, definitely not. I'm looking for very specific droids that are designed to just
destroy other droids.
That's I think what we really want.
Yeah.
We don't want the robots to attack us. We want them to attack other robots.
Right. And they weren't like sentient, so they just ran around, saw a robot, like, target acquired, just exterminate.
Yeah.
No, it was actually RC powered, which was cool. And I think in one of the Mythbusters episodes, Grant was messing around with his robot, mm-hmm. and he ended up actually salvaging parts from it.
Yeah.
And
his old BattleBot robot?
From one of his old BattleBots. He, like, stole, like, servo motors or batteries or something from it.
Awesome.
And I was watching, I was like, wait a minute. I recognize that exact robot. My sister and I always rooted for that one because it always won.
Did you see him on the show BattleBots? Because I want to see what he looked like on the show.
I've seen, they've actually used stock footage from it on Mythbusters before.
Have they really?
Yeah, he had longer hair, big dorky glasses. Because he has contacts now.
Man, all these pictures of him looking like a normal person. I want to see him as a nerd. And they don't. There's like nothing on Google Images. It's him posing with Jeff the robot that he has for Craig Ferguson. Oh wait. Oh, there's a really crappy picture right there. I cannot see that at all. But he's definitely wearing glasses.
Yeah.
I can see that. Man, I gotta find those episodes now.
I know.
Because I don't think
next search.
I don't think I've ever seen a full episode of BattleBots.
Oh.
But I have
it's pretty
seen.
Great.
I have seen clips of like basically a death reel.
Yeah.
Of the robots, but it's not like an Oscars death reel where it puts sad music over everybody's faces fading in over a white background.
It's more like Thunderdome.
Yeah, Thunderdome, like the death shots. Mm-hmm. Like you fast forward in the zombie movie and then you see somebody's head getting blown off. That's the equivalent of what I was seeing of BattleBots.
You know, it'd be a spike comes down right on top of the battery pack or something.
And it looks so sweet.
It was pretty cool to watch. And then occasionally they'd have like challenge race things where, you know, you had to navigate an obstacle course before your other opponent did.
Oh, so it wasn't all just fighting.
It wasn't entirely kill everybody.
Cool. Yeah, no, I think
so they
that
mix
would
it up occasionally.
That's definitely going to hold my interest way more.
And then they also had also sometimes environmental bits in it where it's like, you know,
robot's going to save the environment?
No. As in like environmental hazards. So like, you know, they'd be duking it out and all of a sudden a pillar of fire comes out of the floor and incinerates the robot.
That's not an environmental hazard.
That's
a fire spurt,
It's a hazard that isn't in the form of another opponent.
It's one of the dangers of the fire swamp.
Right.
One, the fire spurt. That's you don't get it because you haven't seen the movie. But anyway.
No, what I'm saying is it's a hazard from the environment that they're fighting in.
Okay.
That's what an environmental
hazard
is.
I thought you meant that, well, why didn't they have outdoor battle bots? Would that have been cool?
That would have been
cool. Or
would
that have been lame because they would have all ended up getting stuck in the dirt?
Or soaked and then short-circuiting.
Maybe. I don't know. I just want to see a bunch of robots fighting each other in a thunderstorm.
That would be cool.
And then eventually one of them harnesses the power of the lightning to zap the other one. Like, yeah. I'm sure that could be implemented.
Yeah, lightning rod comes down into the spike that gets on top of it, and then the robot just explodes.
Yeah, actually, well, this sounds like we just accidentally created robot WWE, because it's not real robot fighting.
Yeah, now it's just getting silly.
Yeah, we're just using CGI and really crappy gimmicks to destroy the other robot in the best, most entertaining way possible.
Exactly.
Which
not even anything close to realistic, but it's
harnessing lightning
awesome.
Power.
Yes.
I would like this. We need to get Seth MacFarlane on the phone because apparently he makes good things now.
Apparently, yeah, he's into the habit of rebooting things from the 90s.
Well, yeah.
Cosmos was the 90s, right?
Ish, I think. Yeah. Maybe late 80s. I don't remember when Carl Sagan was alive.
Yeah. Get him on BattleBots to Mark II.
I don't want him
to host cool
I just want him to produce
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't need him.
Have James Earl Jones narrate or something.
Do you think he'd... I think he'd do it.
Probably.
There seems to be a certain point in celebrities' lives when they just don't give a crap anymore.
They're established enough and they have enough money.
And they just do whatever they want.
Yeah.
You know? And James Earl Jones is starting to fall into that.
Now he's doing Sprint commercials with Malcolm McDowell.
And he does voices like, "Totes McGoats." Or however. Yeah. I can't do a James Earl Jones, but.
"Totes McGoats."
Is it really that low?
It's pretty low. I think somebody, I heard a poll or something on the radio on my drive to work or school one day.
Yeah.
And it was a list of, they had to guess the top most recognizable narration voice.
Uh-huh.
And James Earl Jones was the top.
Of course.
Was most recognizable.
By the way, Cosmos was done in 1980.
Oh, wow.
So earlier than we were thinking.
Okay.
Apparently a really big... a guy that was a big deal in the voiceover world, he died.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I don't remember his name. I'm going to find it, but let's see.
Voiceover guy who dies. There's your Google search.
I'm seriously looking that up. this is... Oh, my God. And it's bringing up Family Guy results. That's exactly what I wanted to avoid.
Oh.
Silly internet.
Yes.
Man. Apparently, Google is going to start encrypting your searches now.
Nice.
So, hooray. Kind of too late.
Yeah.
Thanks, I guess. Even though it's like a year behind, so, but whatever. I wish I could remember his name. Voice over in a world, because he's that guy. He was
in a world.
In a world. Maybe they posted a story to the voice acting subreddit. I don't know. Hal Douglas.
Yeah, that guy.
Darn it. I wish I could find his voice.
Where did my voice go?
My voice is gone. I wish I could find it. Oh, so he did, he narrated a, Well, he was in a trailer for a movie that Jerry Seinfeld did a while ago. But apparently it was a theaters only release.
Okay.
It was called Comedian, and this is what he did for the trailer for it, but it's Hal Douglas playing himself, and I'm just going to inject this piece of tape in here.
All right, let's try this.
This is the voiceover for Comedian movie trailer. Take one.
In a world where laughter was king.
No, in a world, Jack.
What do you mean, no, in a world?
It's not that kind of movie.
Oh? Okay. In a land that...
No, in a land either.
In a time...
No, I don't think so.
In a land before time.
It's about a comedian, Jack.
One man.
No.
When your life is no longer your own.
What does that mean?
When everything you know is wrong.
That's wrong.
In an outpost.
No.
On the edge of space.
No space.
A girl.
No.
Two girls.
No.
Now.
No.
More than ever.
Stop it.
A renegade cop.
I hate you.
A robot renegade cop.
You're fired.
You're fired.
No, you're actually fired.
I'm fired.
Get out of the booth, Jack.
So, yeah, that there it is. Hal Douglas.
Yeah, his voice is very recognizable.
You will be missed. Somebody to look up to, I think. Boy, mm-hmm. Somebody is calling me right now. Should I answer it?
Is the guy looking for Mary again?
No, it's Lindsay.
Oh.
Should I?
Eh.
Nope, hung up on me. Never mind. That would have been fun, but yeah. We're going to have to wait until then. You know what? There's something on my phone that I think I should change. What you can do is it has an option for when you're rejecting a call.
Right.
You can automatically send a message to let them know what you're doing or when you're going to get back to them.
Right.
Right now, it just has a whole bunch of defaults, but I want one of mine to be, I'm on the air. I'll call you back in an hour. That yeah. should. I think that should That's be one good. Of my new things. I got to figure out how to switch that out, though, because I haven't really had to use it that much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of the time, I'm really easy to get a hold of on the phone.
Yeah.
Like, do you think of yourself as easy to get a hold of on the phone?
Sometimes. Or, sometimes not.
Why not, would you think?
Because either I'm at school or work, or I'm busy otherwise, and I'm like, I'll get back to you.
Just get back to you, yeah. Well, I don't know. If I'm not at work.
Right.
And not in class.
Right.
I will probably pick up my phone. Those are the only two blocks of time where it probably won't happen. Oh, and of course this show.
Right.
But, I mean, that's not even true most of the time because I think I've actually answered my phone during the show before.
I don't know. Or in a movie, like in the theater, you don't answer your phone, obviously.
Oh, God, no. Jeez. I mean, when we went to the theater to watch The Shawshank Redemption, I don't know if we told people about this, but Cinetopia was showing The Shawshank Redemption for, I think it was just one night.
Yeah.
And we wanted to go see it on the big screen because...
It's awesome.
I mean, do I even have to give you reasons?
Yeah, no.
I mean, just the description of the event that we were
Shawshank
going
Redemption
to.
On a 50-foot screen. Come on.
There's the selling point. That is it. We go there, and that was probably the worst movie audience I have ever had the misfortune of being a part of.
Yeah.
I mean, there was the people doing their own one-liners maybe like halfway down the theater, and they were doing them loud.
Yeah.
Like, you could actually hear
laughing
them.
At each other, and then other people were turning around and talking to each other.
It's... Using Facebook, I could read one guy's entire Facebook timeline from where I was sitting, and it was bad.
It's like they just thought it was just a fun place to hang out for 2 hours.
Which, sure, movie theaters can be if you have your own movie theater.
Yeah, that, and you paid money to watch a movie. Watch the movie.
It's The Shawshank Redemption, highly regarded as the best movie of all time.
Yes, which actually did go down on IMDb.
You're kidding me.
It went down to 9.2.
Godfather 2 beat it, didn't it?
No. It's still number one, but it went down from 9.3 to 9.2.
Oh, you mean just the points?
Yeah, in the points. No. Yeah,
when did you check that?
A couple days ago, or about a week ago, I think.
Where does it keep the top 250s? Right here. Top 250, Shawshank, still 9.2.
Yeah.
And The Godfather's still above Godfather Part 2.
I still haven't seen any of them other than the first one.
People really like The Godfather 2 way more than Godfather Part 1.
I heard most people say that Part 3 was the worst, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, right into the end, they shoehorn in a little tiny piece of plot that's never revisited, and they turn... they turn Al Pacino into a wife beater, basically.
Great.
It's I don't know. Spoilers, I guess. Statute of limitations is passed on that. Come on.
Yeah.
It's fine. And I don't think Godfather Part 3 is anywhere on the top 250.
I don't think so.
I can check. I think
it's like a 7.8 or something like that, which is considerably lower than the rest of them.
Yeah, I watched it anyway, though. Yeah. Granted, it was 1 a.m., and I hardly remember any of it.
That was the first time I watched the original Godfather was 1 a.m.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. We should probably watch it at a more reasonable hour.
I have watched it at a more reasonable hour, but yes.
Especially considering that it's 3 hours long.
Yeah.
Also, Goodfellas.
Goodfellas is really long, too, but pretty good.
Something I got to revisit, right? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I got to send a text because I'm on the air, and that's important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I need to text.
Yes.
I shouldn't be doing
this. So, do you have any plans
for spring break? Go to work.
Yeah, pretty much. Same here. I think I'm working mornings all week long, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, but except for those 3 days that you have off.
Yeah.
Oh, if you're working mornings and I have some days that I just have off, we should probably burn through the entire Godfather trilogy.
That'd be a long day. But...
It'd be a long day, but worth it. And in my mind, more entertaining than Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. It depends on what you're in the mood for, really.
Not Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
I mean, I can appreciate Lord of the Rings.
You're just not that big of a fan.
No, not really. I mean, because it's not... I like sci-fi, okay, right. But it pushes over into the fantasy section.
I never considered Lord of the Rings science fiction,
and then
it was entirely fantasy to me.
And then I've got to learn all this terminology, and then all of these characters. I don't know
the characters and the regions and all that stuff.
I know maybe like 4 of the dwarves' names in The Hobbit.
Oh God, no, I don't even know that many.
It's like Ori, Dori, and Mori, I think.
Yeah,
and
Balin, and
so many dwarves.
I know.
How do you follow it? I don't know. Like Stephen Colbert, holy crap, man! Have you seen him talk about Lord of the Rings?
I have. Yes.
Oh, geez.
He goes,
he's a super nerd. I'm pretty sure he's drawn his own map of Middle Earth.
That wouldn't surprise me.
I think he showed it to who did he show it to? I think
Martin Freeman or something.
No, he didn't show it to Martin Freeman. He showed it to Orlando Bloom at one point. Because I think Orlando Bloom's kind of a nerd for those things, kinda, too.
Yeah.
I think, well, they have to be because it's part of their role.
Well, yeah.
And they have to learn it. That's probably.
And if you dedicate 10 years to doing a movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think,
can't believe it took them that long to film all 3 movies at the same time.
Yeah, too long.
Yeah, no, that's a decade of your life you just spent in New Zealand filming these movies.
That is way too long to wait for one paycheck.
I'm sure they got paid up front, but...
you really think they do that? I don't know if they do that, though.
I don't know, actually.
I'm pretty sure they get paid after the movie gets confirmed as a profit.
That's true.
And or maybe they do, like, half up front, or maybe I should Google how actors are paid for movies.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do that, but...
But yeah, so I almost wonder, because that's a long time to put into one movie, albeit, you know, free living in New Zealand probably was pretty cool.
Yeah. No. They just got to chill out there.
Yeah, which is a really cool place.
They still have the hobbit holes there.
Yeah.
They legitimately built hobbit holes, and now they're a tourist grab.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I want to go see.
I would say, honestly, I would probably stay in one.
Hell yeah. Probably.
I would probably do like Gandalf does and whack his head on every landing, though. Every ceiling.
Rent out a hobbit hole. Let's see if I can. Hobbit houses, 15 grassy hill-shaped dwellings. So this was, you think 2010 still accurate?
Probably close enough.
Okay, this is from 2010. In a hole in the ground lived a hobbit. That's actually a quote from the book. I don't want to read that.
That's getting too wordy too quickly.
No, thank you. I mean, here's a big misconception that people have had about those books. People thought that J.R.R. Tolkien made those books so he could practice his linguist work.
Mm-hmm.
It's the other way around.
Yeah.
He invented the languages and then made stories for those languages.
Right. He was a linguist.
He was a crazy dude.
Yeah, just a bit.
I mean, developing an entire language, that's hard. Okay.
He developed, like, what, 3 or 4 of them in those books?
He did, like, Elvish, Dwarvish.
Moorish.
Oh, yeah, because they speak a whole other language in Mordor, really?
Yeah.
And then something else.
Something wizardy.
Wizardy. Wizards speak Elvish, don't they?
They speak a random selection of languages, but I think the little spells that they cast are in their own special language. I don't know. I don't read the books.
Languages in Lord of the Rings? I guess I can Google that.
You're going to get very, very nerdy very, very fast. I'm warning you now.
Sorry, man.
No, I learned that just reading the message boards on the Lord of the Rings movies.
Let's see. Oh, my God. There's a whole bunch, actually. It looks like there's five primary ones.
And then sub-languages or sub-dialects.
There's Elvish, Mannish.
Which is English.
Tongue of Dwarves, Languages of the Ents, which is the Walking Trees.
Oh, yeah.
And Languages of the... I don't know if I can say this. Ainur, but that's basically what Sauron speaks.
Mm-hmm.
So, hooray. Mystery solved there.
Too many languages.
Yeah, too many languages. And to anybody that speaks those fluently, congratulations, but have you considered going outside? I mean...
And coming from you, that means a lot.
Look, I mean, if you go out, it's not that bad out there right now.
Sun's just behind a cloud, but other than that, I see blue sky.
I hate going outside in bad weather.
Yes.
I love being outside when it's sunny, even though it's really dangerous for me. And
yeah.
When there's snow out. Those are great weather for me.
Uh-huh.
Everything else is... I mean, if there's clouds in the sky, oh, that's great, but... It's not sunny, though. It could be sunny, and then it's just not.
Right.
I want it to be. And then it is sunny, and then I end up burning myself to a metaphorical crisp.
Yes.
Because I haven't actually gotten crispy from sunburns. That would be very bad.
That would be a pretty bad burn.
That would probably be an indicator that I would have to gain some weight really fast. Ooh, speaking of gaining weight, how many cashews is too many cashews?
I'm not sure. Why?
Because I've been eating a lot of cashews, and I want to know if I've been having too many cashews.
Okay, how much have you been eating?
I ordered 3 8-ounce cans off of Amazon. What?
You work in a grocery store, yet order your food off of Amazon.
I just wanted to try it out, man. See,
I just can't really wrap my head around that one.
I just want it. I mean, don't you think it's amazing?
It's odd and somewhat amazing that we can do that, that they are condoning that.
It is pretty great. I think it, whatever. Shut up. I ordered those off of Amazon and I ate all 3 of those cans in a little less than 2 weeks.
Okay, that's not too terrible.
It isn't?
No.
Okay.
If you're eating 1 or 2 of those cans a day, yeah, that's probably getting a bit much.
I could, though, really easily, because cashews are so good.
I don't really much care for cashews myself.
Why not?
I don't know. They just have a weird
flavor. Do you have a particular tree nut that you prefer?
Peanuts I like.
Yeah? Plain
cashews,
old salted? Or
not
like
so much. Salted, honey roasted, dry roasted, candied.
Okay. I don't know. Cashews are the best nut for me.
Yeah. Pistachios are good too.
Nope. Also, too much work for pistachios. Because they don't come in any form other than with shells, do they?
Yeah, they do.
They come unshelled?
Yeah.
Okay, this is
slightly
better.
They're a little more expensive, but yes, they do come unshelled.
Yeah, that's slightly better, but still not a fan of those.
Yeah.
Peanuts, cashews, those are my jam.
Yeah.
I like those.
Almonds, I don't really much care for either.
Oh, no. They have to be in a candy bar for me to eat those.
Yeah, that makes them better.
Which is why my stance is further solidified that the Payday bar is the best candy bar because of all the peanuts that it has on it.
Yeah.
And it comes with caramel. Why would you not love that?
Yeah.
And probably not healthier than eating cashews by themselves.
No, definitely not.
But cashews have so much fat in them. Did you know
that?
Yeah,
they're one of the highest fat contents for nuts.
Which is why I shouldn't be eating that many, but why are they just so easy to just shove in my face all at once?
Because they have high fat content, and your body tells you, ooh, fat, yes, eat more.
Man, I wonder if that's just America changing the way my brain thinks.
No, that's just biology.
Biology likes fat?
Yes.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Really?
That's why food has flavor. It's because of fat.
It's not all fat, though.
Majority of it is. It's like if you had a zero-fat diet, everything would taste pretty much like cardboard.
But I don't think the body doesn't really crave fat like that, though.
It craves sugars, mostly, quite honestly, because they were rare in...
So our bodies want us to eat unhealthy things. Maybe we should just go with the flow, you know? Maybe we should all just become fat Wally slobs.
Well, I just think, because evolutionarily, if you believe in that whole sort of thing...
if you believe in evolution?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just going there so that way we don't get angry letters from the far heavy hardcore.
If you happen
Christians.
To subscribe to this theory, go ahead and keep listening. But if not, you might want to tune out because you'll get mad. So, okay.
Yeah.
Continuing.
Your body would crave sugars because they were rare. So your brain would go, ooh, sugars, eat as much as you can because you don't know when you're going to get them again.
Oh. It's a pack rat mentality.
Exactly.
Food.
Yeah, you have no idea if you're ever going to get more of those, or if you are, you don't know when. So you want to get them all right now and eat them. All right.
Well, maybe that's an instinct that we don't exactly need anymore, because
exactly.
If we keep giving ourselves all of that crap, our body is going off of the time where we had to run away from saber-toothed tigers constantly.
Right.
We don't have to do that anymore because they're all dead and we stay inside all the time.
Yeah, and that's the other reason why I think your body craves sugars, is because they're the easiest thing for your body to break down to get energy.
Oh, it's quick stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
that's the point.
You just gotta like crack open a coconut,
yep,
and drink the milk, and you can run a really
Which,
long
cracking
way.
Cracking open a coconut is harder than it seems.
It's so difficult. The best way to do it, I'll tell you, because I've done this before. You take a coconut and you drill three holes on the end of the husk with the pointiest part.
Right.
Three holes. You dump all the milk out. And then pretty much you just use those holes, and then you jam something into them, and then you move it like a crowbar.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you crack it, and then that's just it.
Yeah.
I only drank the milk, though. I didn't want to actually eat the meat stuff.
We had coconuts once that were starting to go bad, so I took one, since we had to throw them out because they were going bad.
Uh-huh.
I took one. I'm like,
how do you know that a coconut's going bad?
It starts getting different, almost mold spots forming on it.
Really? They get moldy?
They do get moldy, and they start getting soft.
Because I always thought of coconuts that part as being like just really hard bark, you know?
It kind of is, but
they call it a husk, but it's bark.
It will get mushy and a little bit of mold spotting on it, so.
Okay.
But anyway, so I took them and I was like, how am I going to open this? So at first I'm just doing, you know, the whole.
So you had to open it anyway?
No, I didn't have to, but I wanted to. Because I was curious to see how difficult it was.
I would be too.
Yeah.
That's a good scientific mind, Sonny boy.
So I'm like, I just take it, throw it on the ground.
Nothing.
It makes a nice smacking noise, but doesn't really do much. Other than maybe put a little crack in it.
That was the first thing we tried when we bought the coconut. Before we started drilling into it, we tried smashing it on the ground.
Yeah.
Nothing.
And then eventually I was like, I walk over, grab this big hammer that we have with a big heavy head and just like,
like a sledgehammer?
No, it's like a big, heavy-duty, just regular hammer.
It's our special coconut-smashing hammer.
No, it's just a basic hammer, but it's heavy-duty.
Okay.
And I just use that and smash that two or three times and just, you know, smash it, and it's like...
Awesome.
Caving in a skull or something. I don't know.
You know, I think cracking a coconut like that is an entirely different experience to just picking one from the tree and cracking it that way, because then it's got a whole nother layer of protection to it. And I really don't... I've only seen people break through that part in Survivor, and they have machetes. And I don't think you're allowed to have a machete at work.
Probably not.
How expensive are coconuts? Because I kind of want to go get one.
I think
over
$2 or $3. They're only a couple bucks.
We should get one over spring break, since we're not going
to
be doing...
Experiment different ways to open it.
Well, we're probably going to have to buy at least three.
Mm-hmm.
And then just maybe see how quickly we can open them. Without
destroying it.
Yeah.
So I was going to say shotgun. Shotgun would get it open really quick.
Ooh.
Boom.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a YouTube video of anyone.
I've seen watermelons and cantaloupes.
But everyone does those because they're easy.
Yeah, and they make a nice colorful explosion.
Can we do this? Like, if you have a day off.
Yeah, and I know a gun range we can use.
Yes.
And
I'm gonna
have
shoot
bullets.
A coconut. Awesome.
Been meaning to go up, and especially if it stays weather like this.
Yeah.
Perfect for it.
We're going to do this for science.
Yes.
And it's going to be pretty great. Speaking of science, I remembered a theory. Oh, well, this isn't really science. This is more like, I think this is just like math or basic observation skills. I'm not sure. But my dad thought of a theory a really long time ago.
Okay.
Or this is just something that was happening to him. He noticed that through his entire time of driving, that every blue car that he has ever seen always has a dent in it.
Hmm.
Like, no questions asked. You see a blue car, it's going to have a dent or a scratch or some form of damage to it.
Hmm.
And his entire time of driving, which is basically like his whole life, because he's been driving since he's a toddler,
I'll have
you know, he's only ever seen one blue car that has not had any sort of damage on it.
I think my neighbors have a blue car that doesn't have any damage on it.
Well, you should inspect it, because we need to figure out if this is still true or not, because I was telling Lindsay about this a couple, it was yesterday, actually.
Right.
And we actually went out in a parking lot to go and test it, and out of the three or four blue cars that we saw immediately, one of them being a really nice Chevelle, they all had some sort of damage on
them.
The Chevelle had
Chevelle.
A... What?
Chevelle, not Cheville.
It's not a what? There's an I in it. Chevy Cheville? What do you call what? What? Is my life a lie? What?
Type in Chevelle. Chevelle.
Well, I didn't spell it right.
Okay.
Chevelle. Cheville, right? Oh, apparently that's French. What? I don't know what I just Googled. But
Google the Cheville, not a Chevelle.
Good thing only safe for work pictures appeared, because when you Google things that you don't know what they are,
bad things come up.
That's a risk. Okay.
No, Cheville. Chevelle.
Slow down.
Chevelle.
E-L. Chevelle. Oh. Okay. All right. Well, it was all in weird, like, loopy cursive.
Yeah, I know.
Cursive is dumb, okay? I mean, people tell me that it's a way to make your handwriting better, but no. Look at me. I'm a lost cause when it comes to handwriting. Don't try to
don't
teach
bother.
Me cursive. No, it's a lost cause.
It would be interesting to see your cursive, though.
I've shown you my signature before, haven't
right.
I? That's it. Okay. That's the extent that my cursive right. goes to.
Well, I think cursive was, the idea was that you wouldn't keep jabbing your pen on to the paper, so you wouldn't shred the paper, and it would all just be a nice one loopy bit.
Who shreds paper that way? Well, like, who is taking their pen and going at their paper in a stabbing
motion? You gotta remember, it dates back for people using quills, which are big, fine metal tips that you could literally stab people in the neck with.
They don't tear paper that
if
easy.
If you have
though.
Nice
Come
thin
on.
Paper like that, yeah, it's possible.
Come on, it's not that easy.
I don't
paper
know.
Paper was thicker back then. Paper's
Some of
thinner
it was, yes.
now.
That's true.
I mean, it's just a feather.
Plus,
Jeez.
Also, I don't know. I think it made your quill tips last longer, something like that. Because you weren't constantly jamming them down, so you weren't dulling them.
Maybe I could buy that, but also, newsflash, we don't use those stupid things anymore.
We can.
No. We shouldn't.
We shouldn't, no, but that doesn't mean we don't.
No.
Some people do. You can order them on ThinkGeek.
Oh, God, really?
Yes, you can order a quill pen set.
Jeez.
It's like $25
Goose
or something like that.
I'm looking on Amazon, too. Goose quill pen with powdered ink, hand-carved feather... Why do you need to go so hipster that you're sending yourself back to a time where people illuminated their rooms with candles and brushed their teeth with, like, sheep's wool? That was a thing. Don't even question
Harry Potter
me
cosplay.
That.
There you go. Right there. There's your reason.
You're going to carry a quill pen around you instead of, like, a wizard staff or a wand?
No, if you're pretending to be Harry Potter,
everything about
what do they write with in Harry Potter? Quills.
Quill pens?
Yeah.
But it's Harry Potter.
I know.
And when people cosplay as Harry Potter, they don't carry around pens with them.
They're doing
they
it right.
They carry wands.
Maybe they can do both.
Carrying wands is doing it right.
Yes.
Oh, you know what?
They can't do both?
Hang on.
Those robes have to have pockets.
Oh, God. All right. Hold on a second.
We're going into a really weird rabbit hole.
We're going into a weird rabbit hole, but you know what this opens up the opportunity for?
Yes.
Nerd fight. Are quill pens stupid? Yes. I'm right.
I agree. They are stupid.
Oh, the end.
No, I completely agree that they are stupid. But I can
cursive
understand...
is stupid.
Yeah, for the most part.
All right. Darn it. We didn't really get to play that
much. No.
Don't you like just cutting the music off?
Yeah.
It's the final countdown. Yeah, it's over.
Yeah.
But cursive is dumb. I mean, nobody uses it anymore. The threat that we were presented to, that was presented to us as school children in order to pressure us to learn cursive, was that everyone was going to use it in college. Have you ever had a single college professor that has forced cursive upon you?
No, actually, and most times they demand typed, not handwritten.
It's a new age, people. Let handwriting die. All handwriting.
The only time I've ever actually had handwriting or cursive become semi-useful was when I took the SAT. You had to write a paragraph, rewrite it in cursive. It actually specifically said in cursive.
But why do they do that? I mean, is
I
that,
don't know.
I'm pretty sure that sentence... I don't remember the whole paragraph.
It was like a paragraph long, yeah.
But I think it was it's some sort of academic integrity thing where you had to write it to acknowledge, yeah, I'm reading
this. I'm not cheating, yes.
So that's it. That's the only time I've seen it. And they're actually going to change the rules for the SATs. Have you heard about this?
How so?
They're increasing the amount of possible points that you can get from whatever it is now. What
like 1,600 or something like that?
No, I don't think it's 1,600 because I think they're moving it up to 1,600. I'm looking.
Or is it 1,400 that's the max?
Maybe. Redesigned SAT. I'm looking at it right now. Let's see. The redesigned SAT will be given in spring of 2016, be offered in print and at selected locations on computer. Boy, that's a broken sentence. You can take this test on computer. I mean, there's take it on computer. Here it is. There will be three sections: evidence-based reading and writing, math, and the essay section.
Evidence-based? So is that basically saying you have to do CSI writing?
I hope so.
That'd be cool.
That'd be really cool.
Unless they have the Who playing.
That would help me study. Are you kidding me? It would pump me up.
Yeah.
I would write stuff. The length of the SAT will be about 3 hours with an added 50 minutes for the essay. Precise timing will be finalized upon further research, so they don't officially know yet.
Mm-hmm.
The exam will once again be scored on a 400 to 1600 point scale. The evidence-based reading and writing section and the math section will each be scored on a 200 to 800 point scale. Scores for the essay will be reported separately. And they're also changing how they're scoring, so you don't get penalized for incorrect or blank answers anymore. You can only gain points.
Well, I thought if you left it blank, you didn't lose points. Is if you guessed wrong, you lost points.
Yeah, but now you can't really, you don't lose points.
Which I always thought that was kind of a BS thing.
Having to lose that many points, like, that way?
Well, that's basically saying, if you don't know, don't even bother trying.
Yeah. So this change you think is going to be better for it?
I think it's better.
Also, why didn't they do this change like 3 years ago?
I was saying they should also go back and bump all of our scores up.
If Tony Hawk is going to be inventing hoverboards for us, then he's also going to have to put together the DeLorean so we can go back and make sure that these new principles for the SAT are imposed upon us when we were like sophomores.
Taking the SAT, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, we did talk about hoverboards last week and we acknowledged that it was a prank, but we didn't know who was pranking us. We suspected Jimmy Kimmel. We suspected Nike. We suspected the Illuminati. Pretty much everybody.
Tony Hawk, yeah.
Except for Tony Hawk.
Well, we suspected that it was basically EA through Tony Hawk, being a Tony Hawk video game.
Yeah, but no, not a video game. Tony Hawk just realized one day that he has just the biggest bank account, like fat stacks, yo.
And he doesn't know what to do with it.
And he wanted to hang out with Doc Brown and put on the harness. I don't know, man.
I wonder if he bought that DeLorean, too.
He might own one already, seriously.
Honestly, I would buy one, quite honestly, even though they're horrible cars.
Yeah, I would have it. Just for like the novelty,
just for the nostalgia, yeah.
Yeah, and they had one at the Comic-Con that I went to. Did I tell you about that?
Cool.
Yeah, it had all the glowy lights and the flux capacitor and everything.
They make a DeLorean Hot Wheels now.
No.
Yeah.
Want that. Ordering it on Amazon.
For $1.04? Yeah.
$1.04?
Yeah, that's how much a Hot Wheel car is now.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's see. Hot Wheel car... 81. Well, I'm seeing one for $6.09.
I saw them at Walmart yesterday for $1.
Really?
Yeah, $1.04.
But yeah, this one I can order it on the internet though. Wouldn't that be sweet? 2014 Hot Wheels, 81 DeLorean. I don't know what these numbers mean. 33 through 250.
What number that Hot Wheel is out of this year's set.
Yeah, only one left in stock. Buying it
for $6, you're buying a Hot Wheels car.
I just did it.
That is pathetic.
I clicked buy now with one click. Thank you. Your one click order has been placed.
It'll be here on Tuesday. I could have just picked you up one.
Too bad, man. Were you going to buy me it? Was this supposed to be my birthday present?
No.
Because, okay, I didn't mean to sweep that out.
No. I'm just saying I could go probably pick one up because I'm probably going to go buy one myself for my Dynamics project.
What? Your Dynamics project is going to incorporate a DeLorean?
It's going to involve a Hot Wheels car. I might as well pick that one.
Okay, please explain your Dynamics project. If it doesn't involve time travel.
It doesn't involve time travel.
Oh, okay. But
that gets into advanced physics.
Continue. But anyway.
Basically, what we have to do is we have to make a ramp, launch a Hot Wheels car down a ramp, up and off of, or go down and launch off a ramp and land in a bowl.
Okay. That seems easy.
Fairly, but we also have to calculate out how far of the distance it's going to jump so we know where to place the
bowl. Do you only get one shot?
I think we get three shots. But with Hot Wheels cars, they never go straight.
Yeah, you're going to have to, you might have to tweak this one. You know?
I might.
Because the thing about Hot Wheels cars is they've got loose axles. That's the big problem with them. So you need to probably outfit them with a thicker axle, lube up those wheels, and it'll probably be fine. Because they make the axles out of, no joke, paper clips.
Pretty much.
They're thinner than paper clips, really. It's like super flimsy aluminum wire.
Right.
Which nobody would use.
No. But yeah, so, but we, the distance it travels down, or the angle, you know, that it travels down at is already determined for us. It has to cross X distance going down.
Okay.
But we get to pick what the material is. What
the material the ramp is made out of.
Yeah.
Okay.
How far it goes before it launches off. Yeah. How far it goes before it launches and what angle it launches at.
Okay.
To give optimal distance.
All right.
And so... I was going to say for our testing, we test with a DeLorean because that would be awesome because why not?
And everybody else in the group supported that decision, right?
I'm sure.
Oh, you haven't pitched it to him yet?
I haven't pitched it to him yet, no.
You better.
I will.
And no one else better steal that idea because like that is gold. We may have just broadcasted it out over the radio, but...
It's okay. Nobody listens to us.
Are you sure?
Nobody in my dynamics class, I think, listens to us.
You should get him to.
I should.
I actually need more business cards in my wallet. I'm down to one.
Wow. How many do you have left in your room?
A
couple hundred.
470 plus.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Two just huge boxes full of paper. It is so awesome. Yeah. I love my business cards. Mm-hmm. And I need to give them out more.
But actually using the DeLorean as a launching for a car actually would probably work good because it's a nice, sleek, aerodynamic shape.
Is it?
Kind of.
I mean, I thought you always touted them as not being good in any way as a car, except for novelty.
They are. Aren't that doesn't mean they're not somewhat aerodynamic.
It's all just because cars are somewhat aerodynamic, but the degree of how aerodynamic they are is going to vary because they're very
low to the ground. They're very, you know, angular. They don't punch through the air. They kind of glide underneath it.
It's not a school bus.
No.
Okay. Why don't they make school buses more aerodynamic? I mean, is that not something they can do, or is that just to give them that distinctive shape and they don't want to violate tradition?
That and it's like putting Diet Coke with a Big Mac. It doesn't really make much sense in an environmental sense.
Yeah, good point. It might help like a little bit, but you're giving the kids cancer. So you better make the right call here.
Yeah, but yeah, we were constantly joking. A bunch of us dynamics people were joking at different ways to make the ramp cooler.
Loop de loops, right?
Creative design. Yeah, somebody said a loop before it goes off to the ramp.
Yeah.
And as long as the top of the loop is lower than the initial start position, it'll clear it.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way physics works.
I subconsciously knew that.
I knew that from roller coaster, or watching something on roller coaster design, that as long as.
An entire documentary on roller coaster design?
I think it was a Modern Marvels thing on roller coasters.
Oh, okay. I wanted a documentary. But anyway. Yeah.
Basically, it was saying that, because, you know, gravity powered roller coasters,
mm-hmm.
as long as, you know, the initial drop is higher than everything else, gravity will power it through every single bit.
Nice. Even if the loop is huge.
As long as the loop is still lower than the initial point, theoretically, yes.
Seriously, there's got to be a limit on the size of the loop, though.
Well, yeah, after you reach terminal velocity, there's only so much faster you can go.
Yeah, okay.
And that is, yeah, anyways.
But I wonder if there's, like, a ratio for it.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to look into.
Like, length of drop versus diameter of loop. There's got to be some sort of comparison that shows the maximum diameter of that loop that it could be. Like, if you have a mile-high drop, this is totally unrealistic and not to scale, and then your loop at the bottom...
is a quarter mile in diameter or something like that.
Maybe. I don't know. Oh,
that'd be a big loop.
Do you think they would make it? We should test.
I would.
This. We should probably
Roller Coaster Tycoon. That's your ultimate testing.
Oh, yeah. Man, did you know... Oh, man, there's
Mr. Bones Wild Ride.
Okay. The ride never ends. I wish I had a voice effects thing because I would totally do something like that. I saw a really, this is kind of morbid, but you might kind of appreciate it. It was a design for a roller coaster that would be used for capital punishment.
Okay.
So it's a really big drop, and then it has not one, not two, but like eight loops in it.
That sounds like fun.
Each loop is a slightly smaller size as you go in it. Mm. So you'd go on this gigantic drop. You go on one huge loop. And then immediately after that loop, you go on another loop that's maybe like 20% smaller, and then 20% smaller, and then it just keeps going. So you're going.
Basically you're constantly, every time you get smaller, you're getting more and more force pulling on you.
Yeah. And it's gonna, and that'll just kill you by like the time you get to the sixth loop, and then they just unload you off the cart at the end, throw you into your, they give people unmarked graves still, right? And then, hooray. You had fun.
If I had a choice, I'd pick that version of execution.
I'd take a roller coaster into hell.
Yeah.
It'd be the best way to go. I wonder if I could find this picture.
I don't know. There was one thing I read. It was somebody with Roller Coaster Tycoon, what they would do.
Yeah.
After they would get like their park super profitable and have just fat stacks of cash everywhere, super high ratings, everything,
mm-hmm.
they would like go off in like a corner of their park and create, surrounded entirely by water, and build like an island in the middle and call it the island.
Oh, that's not creative.
No, but basically it had everything you could possibly need to survive. It had restrooms, concession stands, vendors, everything that you would need to live.
Except bathrooms?
No, it had bathrooms. Oh, never mind. It had everything. And then he would like specifically pick individual guests and like drop them on their the island.
Really?
Yes. And then just to live by themselves or to live on their own and live with their own new family.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, their new family or whatever. They're like, I want to go home.
So they basically, you are home. So they basically joined a cult.
Basically, and then, but if there was, you know, and there was one way out of the island.
Okay. If,
for those who were brave enough to dare it, it was like this super intense, like a 10 on the intensity scale roller coaster.
Uh-huh.
That if you could make it through that, the exit got you to a path that would lead back to the park.
Wow.
Which, and right. almost nobody would try it because they were all too scared to try it.
Man.
But occasionally there would be that one brave soul who would do it.
Yeah. Did he live?
Yeah. And then eventually it would be redesigned where if they were brave enough to attempt it, it would just go and then it would go off a ramp and then crash into the ground and everybody would die in a firewall.
That sounds like the Minecraft adventure maps that I make. They just all kill you
in one way. It just ends in a fireball.
I found the picture of the roller coaster. Its official name is the Euthanasia Coaster. The Euthanasia Coaster is an art concept for a steel roller coaster designed to kill its passengers. In 2010, it was designed and made into a scale model by some guy I can't pronounce, a PhD candidate at the Royal College of Art in London. I don't know this name, who is working at an amusement park, staged that the goal of his concept roller coaster is to take lives with elegance and euphoria, end quote. As for practical applications for his design, what's-his-face mentioned euthanasia or execution. John Allen, who served as president of the Philadelphia Toboggan Company, inspired What's-His-Face with the description of the ultimate roller coaster as one that sends out 24 people and they all come back dead. As it would euthanize its passengers, it was criticized by the Anti-Euthanasia Association, Care Not Killing. It's an art piece, though.
Yeah.
People got mad over art.
People get way too into art.
They do. I mean, I should just look at it and go, oh, that's, I can see the point of it.
Although that
silly.
Also depends on what you define art as, because depending.
Oh, God, there's no definition for art anymore. Are you kidding me? It's dead.
Because some people can say that, you know, the car can't be an art form.
No, it never was. It was a symbol of our industrial age.
It was, but that doesn't mean that cars today aren't very pretty and aren't very good works of art in some ways.
Some of them do look nice.
Yeah.
1967 Chevy Camaro, case in point, my dream car.
Yeah, or there's black. Other pretty cars, like, you know, the like you could look up the Alfa 8C. Alfa Romeo 8C.
I think I will.
It's pretty pretty.
8C?
Yes.
Oh my, yes, I would keep this in my garage for all eternity.
And the baby version of it, the 4C, is coming to the U.S., I think, next year.
The 8C isn't part of the U.S. yet?
The 8C wasn't imported.
Oh, it's a little baby, but it's awesome!
It is awesome, and it's very, very fast, and it's going to be about 50 grand when it hits the States.
How fast is it?
Like, 0-60 time is, like, I think, 4 seconds.
Whoa.
It weighs, like, 2,200 pounds, so it's lighter than my car.
Really?
And more powerful.
Nice. Man.
And it handles very, very well, apparently.
The race, if you had one, would not end well.
No.
Boy.
No, no, no.
That sounds awesome, though.
Yes. For 50 grand as well.
50? What?
I think they're slating for roughly a 50 grand sticker price.
That's not too bad, though.
No, it's really not.
Isn't it? I mean, I mean,
50, 60 grand is not bad for that car.
No. I mean, with how nice it looks, everybody just go find that.
Yeah, especially since it's a baby Ferrari.
Oh, is that the...
Because Alfa is owned by Fiat, and Fiat also owns Ferrari.
Oh, it's a little baby Ferrari. If you like, go ahead and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TGIFRadio. We're also TGIF Radio on Twitter. Email us things because you're not, and we want you to, at TGIFRadioshow@gmail.com. Things you want to say before we end this one?
Don't buy all the DeLoreans because we want some.
Yeah, so, well, I ordered the last one in stock.
No, I meant like a real one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, somebody still makes them somewhere.
That's true, because there's a factory of old parts.
We'll be back next week, but in the bedroom studios, because spring break. Woo! Party on, everybody.